This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has 2 floors, 3 bars, and 2 private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.
Hello there. Welcome to the Real Talks podcast. I'm Alan O'Mara, an author, speaker, and mental performance coach with sports teams in the US and Ireland. We originated this podcast in Ireland, where I'm from, and are coming to you this season from New York City, where I live now. In this new season of the Real Talks podcast, we're diving into meaningful conversations with authentic people from art, music, sport, and life. We're also glad to tell you that we've partnered with Irish Central for this season, so you can head to irishcentral.com to check out their features on each week's episode. We've also loved seeing our work feature on their website and in their daily newsletter. Last week, we spoke with Dublin musician Kieran Moran, and this week, I'm looking forward to reflecting on that conversation and more. To do that, I'm joined by the Real Talks producer and my fiance, Mary Kay Boylan. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Coming to you live this week from our apartment.
Yeah. Change of scenery.
So if there's loud truck noises, ambulances, that cute group of preschool kids who walks by holding hands,
singing,
that will be in the background.
We're all good, I believe.
But we're also excited to start by announcing that we have a giveaway coming up. Yay. We're really excited about it. We partnered with Connemara Marble. Their jewelry is just so beautiful and timeless, and I love it so much. And we're so thankful to have partnered with them. So it's going to be a spot prize contest. And basically, you just have to do 2 things to enter to win one of their beautiful necklaces. You subscribe to our newsletter, which is realtalks.news, and follow us on Instagram, which is at @HeyRealTalks. And if you do those 2 things, you're automatically entered, and we'll announce the winner in the coming weeks. The prize, and we'll put the picture of it on our Instagram and in our newsletter, which is going to be coming out with this podcast. It's a beautiful necklace. It's very timeless. It's called their Triskel pendant. It's an intricate silver and green Connemara marble piece. And I wanted to describe the symbol because I thought it was so cool. It's like one of the kind of Celtic symbols that you're used to seeing, but I had never seen the meaning. It's a symbol used by Celtic people for thousands of years and represents the eternal cycle of life, regenerating at each point. Birth, death, and rebirth, or mind, body, and spirit. So again, to be entered to win the Connemara marble pendant, subscribe to our newsletter, realtalks.news, and follow us at @HeyRealTalks on Instagram. And that's it. You'll be entered to win. We'll announce the winner in the next couple weeks. And definitely check out their jewelry, their website. They make such good gifts for yourself, for loved ones. If you win the prize, it would make such a good gift for yourself or a loved one. In the US, it's almost Mother's Day. So something to think about. And that's what I've got to start.
Good job. No, it's really cool. I think like it's a family-owned business as well, or like a family-run business, and really grateful for their support to help us. And I suppose I would just add to what you just said, just around just encouraging people who are listening, just to make sure you subscribe to the newsletter and to our Instagram page. It's obviously podcast. It's a new season. It's a new year. We're on our journey pushing and growing our episodes and our guests and the video clips and everything. So anyone who can help in that regard, we really appreciate it. But then also in this situation, just to make sure if you subscribe, you might get a sweet little prize. Hey, you might even have to buy a Mother's Day gift. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Is there an anniversary coming up? Is there a birthday coming up?
If it's an anniversary, let's buy a gift.
I don't know. I'm saying we got you covered. Just subscribe.
And yeah, like the newsletter is to subscribe is free. There's no charge on that. And then obviously if someone has subscribed and is enjoying it, there's extra add-ons. You can help support our work that way, but there's no expectation. Mm-hmm. There's no need to do anything like that. You just go in, subscribe to your email address. It's like 2 clicks, bing, bong, boom, and you're done. So yeah. Do that, please.
Yeah, exactly. And if you subscribe, that's where we hope to do some live events in the future. Mm-hmm. So that's, you'll get all of that news first. You get some extra deep dives. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. So should we jump into today's episode then?
Of course.
Great. So I think listening to Kieran Moore's episode, I went for a walk like last week into the park and listened to it myself just to kind of just to tune back into the conversation, to kind of sit with it. And I really loved it. Like, it really, like, I know I said to you at the end, he said, like, his song makes him feel like it's a little hug. And I felt like I got that feeling myself just by listening to the conversation, because it was just very, I felt heartfelt and genuine and sincere. And there were some really exciting high parts in it, but there was also like some tough challenges and some, like, just some real authentic and vulnerability sharing within it from Kieran on his journey. And I really enjoyed listening back to it.
Yeah, we talked about it, I think, immediately following when we had recorded it. But then again, in listening to it, like, there's such a warmth to the conversation. And I guess it's so interesting when you see someone whose music that you've listened to, like, that really comes through in all of his music. And then it really came through in meeting him. And then in the conversation, just like a real genuine warmth. I think some people just have that, and he definitely does.
Yeah, for sure. It's, and I think as well, just as I listen back to it, and because I know we talked about this before, even, excuse me, we even relaunched the series, like, just talking to people who are on their journey. And I think with podcasts and some of the ones we listen to and have even recorded before, like, you know, sometimes you're talking to people who are like really successful and have like, and have made it, and they're kind of at that end point. And that's cool. I still listen to loads of podcasts like that, and we'll be bringing conversations with people like that too, yeah, for sure. But sometimes I think it's nice just to hear someone who's kind of in navigating the messiness in the middle of it all, and like having the courage to like push forward, and also willing to like talk about that. Yeah, like, this is like really great, but also like this is challenging, and doing multiple jobs or dealing with setbacks or checking your own email at 3 o'clock at night to see if you got booked for a gig, yeah, and stuff. And yeah, I think you mentioned warmth from the time Kieran walked into the room. Like, when we talked, I felt that kind of warmth and a calmness and like a presence from him. And then kind of listening back to the conversation, it kind of brought me back there again. And I think all of our conversations have been, like, they've been very different with different types of characters and personalities, but it was definitely one that I'm glad we captured. And I said, I hope everyone that's listened to us now has already listened to it. And if you haven't, definitely would encourage you to go back and to let us know what you think about it. But yeah, I took a lot from it. It was like, it was on a day myself where, you know, I was feeling a little stressed, and there was just different things going on in my work life, and head was spinning, and just listening to it kind of helped just me like sit still. I just like sat out on a bench in the park, and like, I don't know, like, spring was starting to hit, flowers were blooming and trees and stuff, and it just helped me take a deep breath. And I was definitely appreciative to, I mean, listen to Kieran, I wasn't buzzing listening to myself, to be fair, but yeah, I really enjoyed listening back to it.
Yeah, I also would encourage people to genuinely dive into his music. It's so good. He's such like a talented singer songwriter, and like you said, I think one of the things that we talked about in doing the podcast this season is it's really cool to talk to people at every stage of the journey. Like, Kieran is achieving milestones and goals that he's set for himself, like, beyond him, right? Like, having a sold out New York debut, that's huge, like, for an Irish artist, for anyone. And so that was such a huge milestone for him. And also, he has so much further to go. Like, we met him, we've seen him live, which was like, such, it brought it to like a whole other level. And so you just know that person is at a stage in their journey where they've achieved so much and they have so much more potential to go and grow. And I love talking to people in that phase of it, because I think sometimes when we only hear success stories through the lens of like, I have achieved like massive success already, it almost, I think, can like hold people back who want to get into some sort of creative endeavor or passion project, whether that's like starting your own company or launching something new, doing art in any capacity. I think when you only hear like very polished final versions, it might be a hindrance. And so I like hearing all stories.
Yeah, well, like 100%. And I think that, like, because I know we all self-edit to a degree, you know, like, including ourselves, like, when you're talking and stuff, but it's like just getting that kind of openness. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And I think when we saw him perform live, like, one, it was like, it hit even better than I expected, because I'd been listening to his music for a couple of weeks in the lead up to interviewing him, and like the It's Okay song for sure, the Follow Your Soul one, and there's a couple of different other songs there, like if you can go and find them on Spotify. But I remember he finished up the show playing like a new song that he hasn't released yet, and honestly, I don't know, I had a few points in me and stuff, but I was like, this thing's a banger, like I loved it, and I'm excited for him to release that song too. And then I think for both of us, now that we got to talk to him and we did, just to kind of keep tabs on his journey and see as he grows and pushes forward. And again, like, I think he's going to have different dates to announce, and hoping to come back to America, and like, we'll definitely be going to see him if when he comes back. But yeah, it's just exciting to kind of meet another like new person on their journey, as I said. And honestly, it's just inspiring. Like, you know, for us, like, we're doing the podcast here, we have different things going on in our own work lives. Like, it's just nice, I just feel like, to get that real conversation about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, that's hard, that's good. This is hard on our side, this is good. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of go, okay, like, we're just all going in this direction. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really inspiring. I definitely, like, I felt inspired from talking to him.
Yeah, I definitely felt that too. Like, he has such an energy around his work and himself, and such a drive. Like, it was just like the other people we've talked to on the podcast, like Katie and Emmett, like, just like so much hard work going into everything he does, but like, not in like a dragging me down way, in like a way, like, he's genuinely so energized by everything he does. And we talked about kind of how he's navigating that, the extra work he can do so that he can afford to do his music, but also treating his music like the job that it is, and with the hard work it deserves. And that's definitely something I've learned kind of as I've like gone on to do more of like a creative lifestyle. I think when I was in like a job that was, I was going to say 9 to 5, but it was definitely more than 9 to 5. I was just like, how would I do something else though? Like, because I was viewing it as a 1-to-1, right? Of like, I spend all my time on this thing, and so I get all my money from this thing. But it's like, there's always like, there's a way to make things work outside of that, while say like the thing I really care about right now is my writing, but that's not the thing that's going to make me money right now, but I'm still treating it as the job that it is, because it's like a creative project that I really, really care about. And then finding other kind of creative ways or things that align with me that I can supplement that with. And I loved having that conversation with him. I think it was just like, it just kind of pulls the curtain back. I think a lot of people are like, well, how can you do that? And it's just kind of whatever works for you, but people are making it work, you know?
Yeah, I think like people are making it work, but then also like as well, like it's, I think it's fair to say like there's lots of times people like can't make it work or just struggle to make it work. And I know I had talked to you about it, like having listened back to the episode, and kind of that concept of like quitting presented itself to me a few times. Like, and I think like when we're like day-to-day living, or like, you know, in society, often like if you step away from something, people are quite quick to tell you that, oh, like you quit that. So just say, for example, oh, you quit writing, or oh, Alan, you like quit coaching, or you whatever it is. Like, I feel like sometimes people are very quick to kind of label it with that term. And I think as I thought about it, like, it's quite loaded in like a shame and like a guilt, in terms of like, I gave up almost. And what came to me with Kieran, and like it also made me think of Emmett as well, was that like, no, these people both like stepped away from something for us. So Kieran made a breakthrough quite young, stepped away from music because he couldn't navigate it, he couldn't figure it out, he couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. It wasn't the right mix for him at a certain point in life. Same way boxing wasn't for Emmett. Like he said when he was in, like he'd gone to Amsterdam and like had to step away from it all. Like I said to you, there was times where like I stepped away from playing like GA for Cavan. There's that apartment noise we were talking about.
Shout out.
And you know, people say, oh, I heard like you quit. And it's like, even as I thought about that, maybe as from a little bit of an older perspective, looking back, it's like, well, I stepped away from it. Like I chose to leave. But like often, I think a lot of time people loop back to these things. If they are like things you're passionate about, be it that's writing, singing, podcasting, like if that's like whatever your career is, like I think sometimes you do just need to like zoom out of it and take a break and like kind of see the woods from the trees a bit. But then if it's something that really does mean something to you, I think like you re-engage with it and kind of come back to it with more perspective, if that makes sense. And that's what I felt from listening to Kieran and Emmett. It was like, oh, they both came back with like much clearer perspective of the thing they wanted to do, but also that understanding of themselves and their relationship with it maybe. And then getting to see them, it's like going to come back to Kieran, like getting to see him now come back in terms of, okay, like I'm going to rev the accelerator again, and actually I'm going to pursue this again. I just thought that was a really interesting like lesson and perspective on it of, yes, he stepped away, but also like he come back and he's better for it now. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, life isn't linear. It's cyclical in so many ways. And I think we want it to be linear, like a linear path, because it makes things feel much more manageable. But that's just not how it, we go through seasons. And in one season, you know, playing a sport might be great for you, and the next it's not. But I think it's very much just, if you can label someone as having quit, it's almost like, I got you. Like, you did quit. You know, it's almost, yeah.
I knew you'd never make it at that writing, yeah, or I knew you'd never do it at that music.
It's like linked into just the bad side of stuff, I feel like. But there is such a stigma around quitting anything. And I think that it leads a lot of us to stay in things too long, whether that be a job that doesn't suit you, a role that doesn't suit you in any walk of life, you know, in your family and your friend group, or a relationship that doesn't suit. Like, I think we've all had experiences where just being like, but I've done this for so long, I might as well just stay. Like, sunk cost is such a fallacy, you know?
Yeah, it's a really tough, I think it's a tough one, because it's like, they're all like, I suppose change is something that pulls into, like, so, okay, if you want change, because sometimes for change to happen, you do need to, I say, quote unquote, quit one thing to create change in another. And yeah, I just think it's like even I haven't fully pieced it all back together yet, but just listening back to Ciarán and Emma, it just had me thinking about that idea of quitting. And it's like, sometimes, like, in terms of, you know, we talked in the previous episode, we talked about being self-compassionate. It's like, no, like, it's not quitting. It's just like, it can be taking a break. It can be, hey, I want to just like step away from this, try to gather my thoughts, gather my breath. And also, like, say when you said about writing, like, okay, so like, got to give it time now and treating it like a job, even though it's like not, you know, mightn't be paying, or if that's music with Ciarán, like, so you can make that work for long periods of time, but something might change circumstances where actually that time needs to be designated to something else for a little period of time in terms of getting some income, or if it is a different project takes hold of you and it's like, oh, well, I actually need to give maybe the 10 hours I was doing to that to something else. And yeah, I just kind of, what I'm thinking and feeling right now is just to any of the people who are listening out there who have like stepped away from something or worked on something and come away from it, because it's hard sometimes to piece all this stuff together. I would just come, I'm coming at it today from like a self-compassion point of view. And if it's something that is, that actually does mean something to you, because I've started lots of things and not come back to them because it actually didn't mean, you know, I thought it was a thing, but like it wasn't. So just, but like, if it is something that you really are passionate about, like, just trust that like you'll find your way back to it when the timing is right. And there's so many ways that like it is, writing is one, music is one, sport is one, like whatever. There's multiple things it can be. Like, it can be art, it can be poetry, like it's all these things. And yeah, I kind of just felt like I wanted to just give like a little virtual hug. Daniel maybe is feeling that I quit something when I shouldn't have or whatever. But it's like, no, you're just not doing it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's, don't you feel like it's kind of like drilled into our brains as kids? Like, for me, like, quitting something was like the worst thing you could do.
You don't quit.
Genuinely. Yeah, no, like, that was like, even like as a kid, I had like a way overloaded schedule. Like, I was doing like sports and playing the harp and doing like a bunch of other things. And I remember like my mom, and I was Irish dancing. My mom was like, you have to quit one thing. And in sixth grade, I was like, no, like
I'm not a quitter.
I was like, this will destroy me. And she was like, okay, but you're doing harp, piano, Irish dance lessons, basketball, soccer. And I was just like, and first and foremost, I did not like half of those things. I was not built to be a soccer player. But I like, the idea of quitting was just like insurmountable.
Yeah, and I don't know where it comes from, but it's definitely like, obviously I grew up on a different side of the Atlantic and you had that same mentality of like, well, whatever it is, like if you've started, just say you've signed up for a soccer team or a Gaelic team, it's like, well, no matter how it's going, no matter how much you enjoy it, like you just don't quit, like you finish it. And some part of me, like from a sporting side of me, be like, okay, yeah, just like, just finish it out. So even if you're not getting game time, whatever, like finish it out. But like as a kid, you hang in there. But also like on the other side of it, I think like in terms of my work as like a mental performance coach, and I've worked with multiple teams in like different sports, like there's genuinely times where it's the right decision to quit. Like when someone sits down with you and maps it out and says like, in terms of sport, life, work balance, that I'm struggling to put this together, and you can try work them through it and try navigate it. But also there's just sometimes just things happen with people in terms of their mental health, in terms of like family situations, family dynamics. And particularly when it's like, these are, say if it's an amateur sport or kind of low end, like semi-pro sport, it's like, yeah, like it's totally okay to like, And again, but that's what I'm saying, like the term quit comes into it then.
Yeah.
Even the player would sit down with me often and be like, yeah, no, I'm going to quit. Like, I'm going to step away. Quit's the word, and you almost feel like it's loaded so much.
Yeah, because I think too, say you are in a space where you have to leave something behind, whether that be like you're struggling with your mental health or you have a lot of things going on in your personal life and you have to step away from something you've always done or love doing, you kind of, because I think we still have like a stigma of failure around when you're struggling. Mm-hmm. And then it can feel like another failure if you're quitting yeah. something on top of it, when if you shift your mindset, that's like the right thing to do and you are mm-hmm. actually doing something to take care of yourself, to make yourself better. But I think the natural instinct is to kind of feel like, oh, I'm a double failure now. Like I couldn't do this and now I can't do this. Like I definitely have struggled with that of like, oh, but I used to be able to do this mm-hmm. and now it's really hard for me.
So it's more shame and that kind of sense
yeah.
of like, not worthlessness, but like that kind of...
It kind of like adds on. Like
yeah, I definitely relate to that too. Even mm-hmm. as you said that, it made me think of, like, I think when I was younger, say like I remember like early 20s when I was really struggling with my mental health, like where depression had really like grabbed me for the first time. Like I remember like quitting like the team because I just couldn't, like I was barely able to like get out of bed and have a shower, never mind like be a high performing athlete.
Yeah.
And like, but even as then when you make the decision to take step away from it, like you get that initial release of okay, I did that, but then like all those swirls of like guilt and shame and frustration that like you almost like you beat yourself up more over it. Whereas I think later in life when I was, because it happened a couple of times, like by the time I think I was still playing at 25 26, like by that stage it was like, no, I've like sat down, I've talked to like my counselor about it, like we've mapped this out, this is a correct decision. And then you're able to go to the coach and be like, hey, just so you know, here's the thought process. And they're like, and at that time my coach was like, why 100%, but like the door's open, like you, if you come back, like come back if like when you want. And like, even at that point in terms of that conversation, because you were able to articulate it and communicate it, it didn't even make you feel like you were quitting then at that point. It just made it feel like it was a break almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas if you're 21 and you're telling, in my situation was telling a coach, it's like you feel like you're quitting. And then that coach almost is on the other end feeling like you are quitting because you're not able to articulate or explain what's going on. Maybe that's probably one of the big differences in it too.
Yeah, being able to explain yourself to yourself.
Like what the struggle is.
Yeah. I think it's hard regardless. When I remember I like went through struggles with when I was working in news, you know, at first it was like my life. And I was like, yeah, like I was doing this, like without even like, not without thinking, but just like day in, day out, this is what I'm doing and loving it. And then it got to a point where it was like, every story was in, like they're very traumatic stories and I'm working on them with my trauma. So like, it was all like weighing on me so much, not even just the workload, but like what I was covering was just becoming like too much. And it was really hard to grapple with like, yeah, like that's okay. Like just because you could do something before, you know, things change and that's okay. But it's hard. I feel like we have such a natural inclination to kind of beat ourselves up whenever given the chance.
Yeah, and I think this, do you know what, even as we were talking there and like we hadn't even really mapped this out, we kind of ended up in it, like this is something where even if anyone's listening, like I'd love for them to like share any experience or perspective they have around like that kind of quitting concept and either something that happened with them and if they found it again, if they wanted to like DM us on Hey Real Talks or send an email to it's alan@realtalks.ie just to kind of like to flesh that out a little bit, like I think it's something that's probably a bigger, you know, I think we all have experiences of it in different ways. And it's like that, I think, again, come back to like why we do this podcast and stuff. It's like, so I'm just having those conversations just helps like join up a dot, that two dots that's in the back of your head from when you were like 15 or like, you know, or when you were 30. And it's like, oh, I never thought of it like that. Or I really related to what that person said and it made me think about that or see it in a different way. And I think that's one of the things I'm loving about the journey so far with these conversations. It's helping, I said to you already, like, I listen back, I'm like, it's helping me learn and it's helping me about myself for sure, but also just like a big picture and about other people. And I'm all like, kind of to wrap up that point on my side, like I'm very grateful again that like so far like Katie, Emmett and Kieran have like opened up to us and had a real talk and been like honest and funny and informative but also vulnerable. And like I'm really happy with like the conversation that we've been recording so far, and it makes me be like, yay, let's keep, we've got more and we're going to do more, which is fun.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to those. And yeah, just to wrap up that point, I think yes, as you get older, you have more perspective and maybe can communicate things better. But I kind of feel like as you get older, it's also harder because often if you're quitting something, quote unquote, or leaving something behind or moving on to a new phase or choosing something that's better for you and realizing you have to leave behind something that didn't work for you anymore, it's almost like as you get older, you inherently have more time invested in all of these things. And that's such a hard thing. Like, I'm just thinking of like relationships now and just like having been in relationships because it was like, oh, well, it's a failure to quit. Like I would have failed. I really think that's like a negative thing that can get put in our heads as kids that we just lock in on and are, and carry that through our adulthood. But yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for quitting when you have to because like just why not? Choose the thing that works better for you. And you can always, I don't know.
Come back. Yeah. Come back to it.
Yeah.
No, it's all like, it links into like, links into mindset or something like I could say to like, I could bring it down to a different example of me deciding to move country and go like move from Ireland to America. And it's like, so some, like in some ways you're almost like quitting on like where you grew up or like quitting on like where your family live. But it's like, yeah, but like I'm going to go try something new. And also like, I can come back to this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the other thing that within like the quitting of it all, and because I just think it's so important to acknowledge that so many of us like have started something, come away from it like effing and blind. And you know, I think of like when I went back to my master's, like I was doing like a thesis, and we were talking to like your brother Packy like recently, Patrick, and like he was like, he's doing that, and it's like you hit that wall. I was like, no, I'm quitting this, like I'm not doing it, like I'm never going to get this done. But then it's like pushing through it. And like, I think what it leads me to is, so many of us reach that point, and at times in life, it's okay to step away and to break from it. But I think one of the other cool things and really important things to acknowledge here is then having people around you help lift you up and help encourage you and sustain you. And when you do doubt yourself, which, hey, as humans, like, that's what we do quite often. And sometimes you need someone around you that can say, no, you got this, like you've done this before, share a bit of perspective, share a bit of compassion. So I'm just to listen to you. And I think that's like that came true again in terms of the Kieran conversation. I know Damien Dempsey was mentioned a couple of times, and it was even funny for me because like Damien's someone I grew up listening to as like a teenager. My older brother David was a huge fan of his. So like I've been listening to like CDs from him for years. Grew up around the corner, kind of from where I grew up in Dublin before we moved to Cavan. And like then just still like hearing that name present itself like to someone like to Kieran. And I know Damien had come up, and I think in a previous conversation with David Balfour, we talked to David, who goes by For Those I Love as well. Like just when people like that who are further down the track of being successful are then trying to push and nudge and sometimes a little drag people forward with them, like Katie Boyle has done that and mentioned that when we talked to her, like she's very empowering, uplifting for other Irish comics that are coming over, which is probably we'll talk about a little later because our next guest is going to be another person from the comedy sector who we met through Katie. And like I think that can be friends, family, but also just like if it's teammates or work people or maybe someone you've kind of a past relationship with. I think as you're on your journey, it's often important to find yourself or surround yourself with people who maybe can relate to change or to struggle or to quitting, because they can kind of help you see the perspective. Like, nah, you got this. Like, you're good. Do you know what I mean? You'll get it done.
So much of it has to do with identity. Like, if you have been something for so long, it's so hard to leave behind that part of your identity. You've talked about that a lot with like the beginning of when you went to therapy for the first time, how your therapist asked you kind of like, who are you? Like, tell me about yourself. And you could only,
this fella's good.
You could only define yourself by like one thing. And that's obviously not the truth to your point of like having good people around you who can remind you of that. But sometimes if we link ourselves to one thing, like when I was like, should I leave my job? I'm a producer. Like I couldn't think of, I was like, but I'm a producer. Like that's just how I like would introduce myself. And then I wasn't a producer for like a year and a half, and now I'm a producer again. And so it all works out. But I think in the in-between, I definitely was able to kind of like you had to in therapy, make a few more identifiers for myself. I think when we're going through any change, anything, like identity is such a tough part of it that maybe you're not even thinking about, but is part of it. If you, you know, with grief, like if you lose part of your identity, like it's so hard to kind of work through on top of everything else.
Yeah, like identity is, I mean, it can be quite complex at times. And again, it's how you view yourself, and like that can be how you've grown up. But also another part of it is it's also sometimes like driven by how other people see you or perceive you. And like in terms of like, you know, wanting to label someone, or even like I said it to you a couple weeks ago, I was doing media work ahead of the New York Mayo game, and like obviously happy to do it on the manager of the team, and it's part of like the obligations. But then like multiple times a question I got was about like, would you like, why aren't you playing, or would you not see like, why aren't you playing? And it's like I'm like standing here as like the manager, I've done a, like there's been years of my life have gone on for me to even have this opportunity, but then like the society around you still like, you used to do that thing, so like let me ask you about that thing. So I'd be like, or like, you know, someone would say to you about news still, or it could be the harp as well, like people just like we label each other with different things, and that's how, sometimes how we remember each other. It's not always like loaded with negativity or anything, but just like as you get older and try and pad out identity, like that was something that ultimately was one of the biggest factors in like my mental health struggling, was I for periods of my life really just identified myself as like an athlete and as a Gaelic footballer. And in that conversation, like what you referenced earlier, that's like when I wrote my book, like that was it, I really wanted to capture that conversation. I remember like trying to write it from memory, and then I remember like sharing it with like my counselor, being like, hey, like is this your like recollection is too, which is kind of was a fun experience. Because I just wanted to like the show, because sometimes it can solve identity and stuff, even talking this, you're like, is this all up in the clouds, is this a bit wishy-washy? But it's like we all like recognize and relate ourselves to doing certain things or being certain ways, and other people do that too. And I think it's really nice then as you start appreciating just the different sides of you and nourishing the multiple, like I know we talked about pillars on one episode, right? That kind of helps me do it. Like, okay, Alan, the friend, Alan, like the family member, Alan, the mental performance coach, like Alan, the partner to you. But then also just like, you know, Alan, if he's walking down through the park, and just kind of help and spread, maybe I'm going to say like spread the jam out a little bit rather than it all being like one thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, that got me about. Like, I used to just, like, if that one thing was going well, I was good. And if that one thing wasn't going well, right, I was like, oh, it's a disaster.
Totally.
And that was like a big shift. I know I slightly went off on a tangent there, but it's like as you get older too, and as you start like being open and honest about your journey with that kind of challenge and stuff, people around you do find people that can relate to it or that have gone through some things that are also able to help you. And like I remember like just as I was going through all that time, I ended up becoming really good friends with like Niall McNamee, who was another Gaelic footballer, played a different county. Like we weren't friends or anything, but just like our experiences were quite similar. We crossed paths a few times, and like even now, like it's like 10 years later, like we would still talk quite regularly. And just because you had your friendship wasn't now due to like time spent together or growing up, but it was due to like similarity of experiences and relatability. And that's kind of, you need those people. And I think that's where like to Damon, to Kieran or Katie, to different, like that stuff comes in. And I think it's important, like, because people, as much as people can drive you away from doing certain things, there's also people that can really help you achieve your potential and push forward. And when you have that shaky day or week, or you can have a shaky month or year, honestly, but having people that just kind of keep prodding you, keep poking you, because they want you to do the thing that probably you want to do underneath it all. And it's really important to have like good people around you.
Yeah, and identifying who you can talk to about different parts of your life. Katie talked about, in the episode with Katie Boyle, she talked about kind of what you're saying about whether people mean to or not, like they kind of put a label on your back, and that's just that sometimes, and that can, it can be helpful to branch out from that thinking or being around just those people who are going to label you as one thing.
Yeah, like I found moving countries like genuinely so liberating, because you've got years of experiences, of friendships, of relationships, of achievements that, again, it's not like people associate you with all these things that you've done, like, and often in a good way. But then as you just try and like, you're trying to break forward and kind of flesh out your identity, like if the other stuff keeps getting like kind of rammed down your throat, or kind of you kind of just like, just give me a couple of weeks here, I'm just like trying to do something else. But yeah, like it's sometimes changing environments very, very helpful. So that's like, I think we've talked about like quitting, but then also like on the other side of that, like good people can really help, but then also like good environment sometimes, and changing environment, even if it's just for like a week or a month or a summer, just to go and give yourself a bit of breathing room away from maybe the preloaded perceptions of you or the things you do, just to have that extra little bit of fresh air, honestly, just that little bit more breathing room. And I did, like, that's, I did that when I went to write my book. Like, that's, I don't think I would have got it done if I was at home. Ultimately, I needed that time away to, like, do that, and it was really helpful. So yeah, and again, it's not always practical for people if you've got like three kids or you have a job where you have to be on site. Like, I totally understand. I'm not sitting here saying, oh yeah, just like get away from it. But sometimes, yeah, I think environment and people are two things I would kind of flag if someone, you know, is thinking about quitting or has stepped away from something and maybe thinking about going back to it. Go back at it.
Yeah, just in like your own a time. Slightly different environment can help with a perspective shift, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think we'll just wrap up with maybe just giving a shout out to our competition again. It's our first one in this new season. So like, we have really cool prize. Mary-Kate went through it at the top. It's from Connemara Marble. It's a necklace. It's going to be in the newsletter. And to enter, all you literally have to do is go to realtalks.news and type in your little email address and press subscribe. It's free. And go over to our Instagram page at Hey Real Talks and follow us there. One, you'll be doing us a solid. We're trying to grow our audience. We want to grow everything that we're doing. We've loved doing the newsletters. We've loved doing these new episodes each week. And yeah, do that. Enter competition. You might win a sweet prize. And other than that, we'll be back next week. And I'm looking forward to bringing you a very good, interesting and powerful conversation next week, which is something I'm excited to share.
Definitely.
We'll put who it is in the newsletter. We ain't giving it away now. Yeah. So go subscribe, because you'll find out who our next guest is too. Look, we ain't playing. Bye. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Real Talks podcast. The Real Talks podcast is hosted by me, Alan O'Mara, and produced by Mary-Kate Boylan. Video and audio were mixed and edited by Jack Deacon at Plural Video and Design. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Real Talks podcast on your preferred platform to keep up to date with our new weekly episodes. You can also sign up for our newsletter at www.realtalks.news. You can also follow the podcast at Hey Real Talks on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow me there by searching at AOMTheCat. Thanks for being here, and we'll be back next week.
This episode of the Real Talks podcast is brought to you thanks to the Taylor Public House. Right on the doorstep of Madison Square Garden, the Taylor Public House is the perfect place to connect with family or friends before taking in a concert or sports event. The Taylor is known for its warm welcome, classy ambiance, and comfort food. It has 2 floors, 3 bars, and 2 private event spaces for parties and gatherings. Be sure to stop by and experience the Taylor Public House for yourself, located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan on the corner of 35th Street and 8th Avenue. Check out thetaylornyc.com for more information.